on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
I can't believe it's been 40 years next month, April 21st, 1986, since we watched Geraldo. I spent the weekend reading a terrific book, Capone's Vault, The Real Story of the Biggest Disaster in Television History. The author is William Elliott Hazelgrove. He's a best-selling author of 10 novels and 14 nonfiction titles. Congratulations on the book. This is quite a story, William.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
The only reality show at that time was what, The People's Court?
Yeah, and Doug Llewellyn, and he actually is the guy who pitched this to Tribune Entertainment after every network turned him down. So, you know, we can't do this because we don't know what's going to be there. And Tribune Entertainment only had the Farm Report and at the movies. And so they took a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of newspaper articles a year earlier led to the idea for the show, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. What happened was a guy named Weird Harold, he actually had a porn shop in Chicago, and he went down into the Lexington, which was dilapidated, and found the ball. Or what he thought was the ball. He saw a 5,000-pound slab and a 125-foot wall. So the Tribune ran an article in 1981 saying, you know, Capone's vault there. Because Capone ran Chicago from Lexington, you know, from about 1928 to 31. And so this got to L.A., and Doug Llewellyn of the People's Court read it, came back, pitched it to the networks. They said no, then pitched it to Tribune Entertainment. And Mandy Malin Grafman, who's my producing partner, was actually one of the producers there. And they said, sure, we'll do it. And gave him $900,000 to open this vault. They thought was a vault in the basement of this decrepit old hotel where Al Capone ran Chicago.
Yeah, this is the northeast corner, Cermak in Michigan, 2135 South Michigan. It's now, I think, an apartment building. So they finally committed. Tribune Entertainment Syndication finally said, okay, the production budget was close to $1 million. And was it an immediate yes, or did they have to be convinced? How did that go?
Yeah, they had to pitch them several times, and they said, look, something's there. And so, it was sort of like a train that got started and they couldn't stop because everybody said, of course, something there. Just for your listeners, I wrote another book on Al Capone in 1933, What's Fair. Basically, Capone, when he went to jail, he had syphilis. So he lost his mind while in jail, and he could not remember where he hid all his money. So to this day, nobody's found Capone's missing millions. Well, everybody thought that was going to be in the vault.
We're talking to William Elliott Hazelgrove, who has the book Capone's Vault. And no one knew if anything was in the vault or the basement or all the tunnels, William. So why didn't they say, let's tape it to be safe?
You know, they came up with this crazy idea was to do a two-hour live show. They thought this would just amp it up and that, you know, and nobody did this at the time. And you have to remember, this was just network television. You know, the cable had not come in. And, I mean, they had no idea that 30 million people would watch this, more than the Super Bowl. And this really changed television because the thought was, wow, you don't have to give somebody at the end. You know, when they started to get to the end and realize, hey, maybe something's not there. Well, Geraldo, after he blew up the second wall with dynamite and they found an old bottle and that was it. It didn't seem to really matter when the ratings came in because, again, this was the night reality television began. You know, the concept that you could give somebody a great ride but no payoff had not occurred to anybody. So you had this two-hour one-off. And by the way, Geraldo told me, because I interviewed him for the book, that he didn't know there wasn't going to be a teleprompter. He asked the minute before he went, I said, where's the teleprompter? He said, there isn't one. You've got to make this up as you go. And he said it absolutely blew his mind, you know, when he walked on that minute and said, this is Geraldo Rivera. I'm here to tell you, you know, that was all. From then on, he was on his own in terms of making this up. And for 2 hours, he ad-libbed the whole way through.
I didn't realize till I read your book that this was either going to be the end or the revival of Geraldo's career. He had just been fired by ABC. Why did they decide to hire him as the host?
you know, that's a great question. You're right. He had just gotten fired. They thought, well, let's try Robert Stack. And they're like, nah, he's too stiff. And they thought maybe Mike Wallace in 60 Minutes was like, no way. So Geraldo had been fired, and they caught up with him on a sailboat and offered him the job for $25,000. And he said, I'll do it for $50,000. He needed the money. So for him, it was a comeback, a redemption story, really. And so when he found out there was nothing there, he went across the street, got drunk, went back to the Hilton, put a sign that said, do not disturb, and wouldn't answer the door for 2 days. Well, then Doug Llewellyn slid the ratings under the door that said 30 million people, and he had 12 messages that turned out to be 12 job offers. So that really launched Geraldo into the next phase of his career, which was the Geraldo Show.
Mm-hmm. And now his agent was advising Geraldo not to take this job, wasn't he?
Yeah, he said, listen, what are you going to do if nothing's there? You're going to be this carnival barker. And, you know, my argument in the book is that Geraldo was really a pioneer because he combined news, but he also combined entertainment, something we're very used to now, but was very new. But his agent said, absolutely don't do it. And Geraldo said, you know, I need the money. And what was to follow from all this? You know, Cops, Survivor, all the cooking shows, all that came after this mm-hmm. strange night in April 21st where Geraldo Rivera went down into the vault. And you know, it turned out the vault was just a sidewalk vault. I mean, we use the term vault, but in fact, it was just this space under the sidewalk in front of the Lexington Hotel that, you know, most of these hotels had, and then they had sealed up. But once people started to say Capone's vault, that just took off. And here's the thing, it was nationwide. I mean, it's hard to believe that, you know, this was on front pages of newspapers all over the country, but it was. And again, 30 million people tuned in to watch this 2-hour show that in the end produced an old bottle that wasn't even from the 20s. It was from the 40s. You know, remember Geraldo held up the bottle and said, here, we found this bottle from the 20s. And they had a guy off camera go, no, that's from the 40s. And so what Geraldo started to do between takes, he told me this too, is he would go sit in the corner on a milk crate as he started to realize there's going to be nothing there. You know, this looked like to him the end of his career. And in fact, it was the thing that made him.
Yeah, for anyone who wasn't around to remember this in 1986, of course, there were only 4 channels back then, no streaming, and the hype was intense. The speculation was that there would be either what, money, bodies, booze, weapons, documents. Most people thought there'd be something, didn't they?
Yeah, they had a medical examiner there in case there was a body. And also I found out, too, that they had the medical examiner there because there might be strange organisms down under the, you know, under the building that would come into the air. Then they had a guy from the IRS there who said, you know, Capone owed $800,000. And, you know, they were there to get that money. And then, you know, then they had the police there because they thought of all this money or there were bodies there. You know, it ran rampant. And they did all sorts of tests. They did sonar tests and you know, all these different tests to try and figure out if something was there. And they could get no real resolution. All they could say was, yeah, there's something there. There's something there. Mm-hmm. And that just became the mantra that the producers and, you know, and Geraldo had to, you know, just keep saying over and over and again as the time ticked by. And by the way, when they blew up that wall, right, they had this wall and they used 60% dynamite. Chicago didn't say till 4 o'clock that afternoon you could do it because you weren't supposed to be able to blow up walls in the middle of Chicago. And Geraldo said right before they blew up, he said, "Is this whole building going to come down?" They said, "I don't think so." And then they blew it up. And yeah. You know.
Yeah. Geraldo took all the heat when there was nothing in the vault. He was vilified. It became a punchline. And as you say, he got drunk. And the producers were sad, and they thought their jobs were done until the next morning when the ratings came out. Then everything changed, didn't it?
Yeah, they Alan Grafman and others went to the Tribune building, and they went to the office, and they thought, well, they were all going to lose their jobs. They thought, well, this is it. And then those ratings came in at 30 million people had watched. This was unprecedented. This is more than the Super Bowl. And this immediately flipped it on its head, where you went from great disaster to great success. You know, Orson Welles, I wrote another book called Dead Air, The Night Orson Welles Terrified America. Same thing happened. After that Martian broadcast in 38, he thought his career was over, total disaster. And then Dorothy Thompson wrote an editorial saying, no, he's done us all a favor showing us how gullible we are. Total flip around. So it's a high risk, high reward.
Yeah, and reality TV was born. It's a fantastic read, the real story of the biggest disaster in television history, Capone's Vault, William Elliot Hazelgrove. Thanks for talking to us about it today, William. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And I'll also be on WGN TV April 16th and also doing a reveal at the site on the 21st.
And if you recorded the show on your VCR, still haven't watched the cassette, sorry we spoiled it for you today.